You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Starting this weekend, Saturday the 28th of June, and running for just over a week until Sunday the 6th of July, is the annual New Zealand International Science Fest. And this morning, I've got a guest coming on the program here on the Adju Breakfast, Dr. Joe Brzezinska, to talk about an event. So good morning, Joe. Are you there?
Morning.
How are you this morning? Are you here in Otipoti already?
No, I'm not. I'm at home in Littleton, Ohinaho.
Oh, very nice. So you'll be a fan of Marlon Williams and other Christchurch Ototahi artists and all that?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Very nice. Zach always likes to. I'm guest hosting breakfast this morning while Zach's in Poneke drinking wine and fancy coffees. I'm sure that's a pastime you'll endorse.
Yes.
But he always likes to start off his interviews with a quirky question. So my question to you, Dr. Brzezinska, is, are you a doctor of wine, and are you taking new patients currently?
I guess I am a doctor of wine, though my doctoral subject is interdisciplinary, spans art and wine. And patients, I can administer some advice.
Yes.
And this is what all my events are all about at the New Zealand International Science Festival.
Right. Well, I mean, I appreciate multidisciplinary doctors, a holistic approach and all that. That sounds very cool. I'll talk to a receptionist after the interview, hopefully. Your doctorate was related to wine, but what exactly field would that have been in? Was it sort of a psychology thing or a food science thing or something new?
It actually spanned a lot of different fields. My background is actually in the arts and communication. My background is actually in sonic art, and my original degrees in literature. So I've been a wine writer and a sonic artist in parallel for many decades. Mm. But in this PhD, I also had a supervisor and did work within sensory science with a focus on wine, and also did some collaborative work with psychologists at the University of Oxford Crossmodal Research Laboratory,
right,
as well as cognitive neuroscientists as well. So it was basically joining up a lot of dots which related to the multisensory experience of sound and wine.
And so you said you did that sort of at Oxford. Were you there and did that in person, or was that a bit of a remote thing? Were you able to travel around and sample wines as you were quote unquote working, or how was that?
I actually did my PhD in Australia.
Okay.
And had my supervisors in Australia, but then did research. I went over to spend time at the University of Oxford and did that research there in person.
Mm. And maybe, yeah, very cool. I know probably nothing like that had ever really been studied, maybe. I guess if you're doing a PhD, you're supposed to come up with something new and original and unique. Was that an easy decision for you? I mean, you said you've done work in sound art and, literature. I guess there's lots of wine involved in literature, but you must be a lifelong wine lover, and this must have been quite an obvious, maybe, direction for you to take your PhD?
Yeah, basically... The PhD kind of emerged as a kind of organically from the research I was already doing informally. It suddenly coalesced, and I thought, this feels actually like a PhD. And there hadn't been any work done in my area, certainly from looking at the area of wine and with my background in sound as well. Mm. So it all came together pretty naturally, and there was a lot of interest in it because it was kind of filling a hole in the knowledge.
Mm.
And my knowledge, I was like very lucky to have this background in sound and wine, which kind of is fairly rare.
Yeah. And I guess there's fairly sort of common knowledge that like the appearance of your food on the plate at the restaurant, you know, will affect how people perceive the food and how they enjoy it and even how they think it'll taste. But yeah, wine seems to be, I guess, similar. I mean, it is food and beverage. And, you know, there's people that maybe aren't super maybe knowledgeable about wine. They think of people doing these fancy wine tastings and they think they're just kind of making it up. But, you know, you get the sommeliers or the fancy people talking about, oh, you can taste this, you can taste that, you can taste this. But I guess if you're not like in the right mindset or, you know, your internal situation isn't quite open to it, you might not be able to perceive these things. So yeah, it seems really interesting. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about the show without giving away too many of the, you know, the exciting things that will be revealed. But yeah, so do you want to talk a little bit about the show and the idea of how people will experience these wines and, you know, how they're opened up, maybe their minds or their taste buds are opened up to these things?
Okay, so it's called Sonic Sommelier, playing on the sommelier, but instead of selecting wines for your meal, I'm going to be selecting music for a selection of wines. And it's definitely not like your average wine tasting. And I would suggest if anybody has anxiety around those kind of wine tastings, this is all about fun and being able to use your senses in a way that it doesn't matter what background knowledge you have. It's about developing a really great sensory focus, which is a really egalitarian way of appreciating wine. I say come with an open mind and open senses and prepare to have probably both blown, I would like to suggest. So what I'm looking to do is with these pairings is create some really exciting synergies or some powerful conceptual shifts as well. What we taste is constantly remixed by our environments. So in this tasting, we're actually going to go to three different venues that have very different ambiences, and we'll be tasting six wines, two wines in each. And I've set up some very cool things that will change people's perspectives on the wine, change the way the wine actually tastes in these environments. And this is something that's going on all the time. We just don't tend to notice this. So the tasting is all about noticing how our environment is changing our sensory experience and being able to really kind of enjoy those changes and really make the most of it.
And I guess everyone will, you know, come with their own preconceived ideas. You know, they'll have had, I assume people should probably have a nice dinner before coming on and drinking a fair couple of wines responsibly. But, you know, everyone will come with their own subjective ideas and biases. And if you're pairing things like sound and smell, like people experience all these things subjectively. So I guess you don't really know how, really, in the end, people will exactly experience it, but you've got an idea of how the things that you'll be able to control will open these up. How much control are you think you're having here?
It's interesting because, like, firstly, there are always skeptics, and I would say to skeptics, come along and actually sense for yourself. Because sometimes people see this written down and they think, oh, no, that sounds like kind of gimmicky or like a load of nonsense. But this is a real phenomenon. What it's described as kind of is known as cross-modal correspondences. And it's the way that our kind of we put together experiences. And it is different, subtly different for different people. But I've actually found in my own research and the research that's being done that there's actually quite a lot that we share as well. We will experience things slightly differently, but the way that sound can change our experiences is pretty universal. Things do change, and it's for everybody. Interestingly, a lot of past talk about this phenomenon has been couched in the term of synesthesia, which people might have heard of, which is when a sensory trigger in one sensory modality triggers something in another quite powerfully and project did, and but synesthetes, they're only 4% of the population. So for me, that's less exciting than looking at some of the more universal shared experiences that we have when we don't have synesthesia. Mm. And that's really what this session, events are all about. It's for, you don't have to have synesthesia. We have, I guess, a type of synesthesia, all of us.
Yeah, right. You just need a brain, basically, like a decently functioning brain, which hopefully we've all got.
Yeah. And actually talking to the kind of responsibility of drinking as mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. The wines are samples because the more you drink, the less you actually sense acutely. So it's not about drinking a lot. It's about really paying attention to what you have in your glass mm-hmm. and past a few glasses of wine, and that doesn't happen as well. So it is about these kind of heightened sensory experiences.
That's right. And I guess you've been to these venues and you've already sampled the wines. So you've got it all planned out already?
Yep. So I've chosen the wines and I've been working with the venues to set up different. They're, in themselves, they're very different. And also they will be lit and the whole kind of ambiances will be really directed to the sensory experiences of the wines that are going to be tasted there. Mm.
And so, of course, this is going to be an adults-only event, 18 plus. Are there are they all New Zealand wines? Some international wines? What have you chosen?
Because it is a mixture. So I just went in looking for the sensory characters of the wines. So just so that they would actually taste and feel the way that I was looking for a wine mm-hmm. to taste in these different spaces.
And that kind of approach, just kind of looking and noticing all the subtle details of the wines themselves, kind of speaks maybe to your history or experience as a sound artist, where you've got these things that just exist in the world, and you're trying to notice as much as you can and see how you can play with these things and let them interact. So I think that's really cool.
Because also, I mean, it's interesting because I think when a lot of us listen to music, we can listen to music quite deeply and we can have an emotional experience with a piece of music. But when it comes to wine, well, I mean, my background is as a wine writer as well. Mm. So I have emotional experiences from wine, but I realize that that's kind of, I'm a bit of an outlier on that scale. However, really, we can listen to wine like we listen to music as well, which is another thing that's come out of my research and hopefully people will experience at these Sonic Sommelier events next week as well. The way that we can actually engage with wine in a deeper way too, on a sensory and an emotional level. And our senses and emotions are all completely kind of intersecting. So it makes sense. And it really kind of makes the whole experience a lot richer and a lot deeper.
I think it will be a journey for the wine lovers. I assume that people that don't like wine probably might not attend, but you'll probably get a good group of people that are really interested in wine. And it's really interesting that you called it a multi-sensory wine odyssey, and you speak to it as a bit of a journey. So do you think it will have an Odyssean feel by the end of it? Do you think people will feel like they've traversed, great or conquered or done conquests or learned so much?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's a journey in a very physical sense because we are traveling between three venues. They are close together. But also, hopefully it is a journey through the senses and probably journey through some people's preconceptions. And it should feel like a journey. We go through three very different phases to get to our destination. Mm. It's a fun journey as well. You learn about the science of multisensory science as you go on this journey as well. So there's something for the mind, there's something for the senses. And I also say, would encourage people that maybe, don't kind of drink a lot of wine or, are more into music. That's something for you as well. Who knows, the sound may bring you more into the wine experience too. So definitely there is a focus on the music side as well. Yeah. They're quite balanced.
It sounds so fascinating that you're going to be, with your literature background and thinking or calling this an odyssey, but then also weaving in science and food and drink, I guess, and sound, it'll be a really interesting experience. So, sounds quite cool. So I think you'll have some very excited people, and you'll have to kind of calm them down and say, do some breathing exercises, still your mind, and then have a taste of this. So yeah, we might leave it there. The show Sonic Sommelery, a multi-sensory wine odyssey, has two events. I wouldn't call it a show, I suppose. It's more of a participatory event. Two events as part of the New Zealand International Science Festival. Thursday, the 3rd of July, 7 to 8:30 p.m., so after work, and Friday, 4th of July, the next day, also from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And tickets are available from the New Zealand International Science Fest website, scifest.org.nz, scifest.org.nz. And yeah, Dr. Joe Brzezinska, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Do you have any music, or will you be playing any of your music or any of your sounds as part of the thing, the event, or is it all produced by other people?
Yeah, it's a mixture. It'll be some of my own works, which I have actually created to go with specific wines, and there'll be general music as well that I've been selected to complement certain wine experiences.
That sounds fascinating. All right. I'll plug the event one more time in a few minutes, but I'm going to play this song from Tame Impala. It's called Half Full Glass of Wine. They may be quarter full, but you'll get plenty of varieties to enjoy. Thank you for coming on the program again, and look forward to the events down in Otipoti next week.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.